Hi, this is Gavin from FE News. I'm here at EPA Live talking to some of the interesting speakers on the stage. It's people in the audience to get the latest developments in endpoint assessment. So this is Gavin from FE News. I'm here with Beth from Protocol. We're at EPA Live. Beth, we hear a lot around endpoint assessment and looking at the apprenticeship reforms and also looking at T-levels going forward as well. We understand the strategies are in place, the policies are in place, but unless we've got the delivery mechanism in place, we can't move forward. So what does the sector need to be thinking about moving forward around the delivery, like the whole sort of educator sort of market, really?
Well, yeah, I think you're right that the real challenge for the sector is sourcing enough very good, high quality endpoint assessors. And it's something that continues to be an issue. I think there's some things that are exacerbating that as well around the pipeline prediction. So it's very hard for endpoint assessment organisations to plan, because at the moment their pipeline, the learners don't always get to Gateway when they're expected to. And that is causing real operational challenges for the organisations. And then that has a knock-on impact on the staff that are going to be asked to do endpoint assessment. So I think there's a couple of things around where these endpoint assessors may come from. And obviously, it differs from standard to standard, and that's outlined to an extent in the assessment plan. But where do these people come from? So I suppose there's two main sources. One, people who have experience of delivering frameworks, who have latterly been instructor assessors on frameworks and want to move into endpoint, and we've spoken to a lot of these people who are saying they see where the market's going and how do they get into endpoint. So for those individuals, it's really important for them to understand the importance of occupational competence, and making sure that their CPD is not only current but also logged, because that's something that the endpoint assessment organisation will want to look at. But it's important for them to, for their quality, that the people who are going to be delivering or delivering the assessments are occupationally competent, and it's very recent. So that's one thing, is how does that body of people who used to work on frameworks transition to be endpoint assessors? And that isn't straightforward, because endpoint is very different to frameworks. And some people have struggled, and obviously there is some training out there in the marketplace that people can do. But what we're seeing is mostly that organisations are still looking for the traditional assessor award, really. There hasn't been a new qualification come that is very widespread. And I think that's one question for the sector, is there a need, and how could it assist quality for there to be an equivalent of an assessor award specifically for endpoint assessment? I think the second group of people are people who are currently working in industry, and how as a sector can we tempt those people away from their industrial role? And it's something we have had success with, but it's, you're starting from a base where some of the people that Protocol have recruited, for example, have been working in industry, and when we've approached them about working endpoint, their understanding of apprenticeships was practically zero. Their understanding of the potential as endpoint assessment as a career move from them was exactly zero. So it's how does the sector attract these people and talk about that as a career, and how that might be attractive to them. And I think there's a certain cohort of people where the opportunity to give something back is quite appealing, and within some sectors it can be easier than others. So particularly in the trades, that people who are coming to the end of their career, sometimes challenging physical environments become less attractive the older you get, so actually that's quite attractive. And in some of those trades, some of those people have been brought up in a world where apprenticeships are common, so that you're talking their language, they understand the concept of an apprenticeship, and many of them will have mentored and looked after an apprentice in their role. So there is scope there. I think for some of the other occupations that are not what you might call traditional apprenticeship occupations, that's a much harder sell. I think what the organisations need to think about is how do they make themselves an attractive employer. And some of those issues are just generic, the way that any employer wants to do that. You know, are you caring? Are you flexible? You know, what training and development do you offer to your staff? You know, that's what every individual is looking for. But I suppose in terms of endpoint, you know, some of these people will be earning very attractive salaries in industry. And how do you get around that issue if you can't match the salary, which is often, you know, the case that there is an envelope of funding that is attached to endpoint that the endpoint assessment organisations have to work within. So finding the right people can be difficult. So it's how do people attract those members of staff outside of a financial package? And it is talking about working for a reputable employer, giving something back to young people and older people who are retraining. It's that kind of issues that I think people need to think about.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Why not click subscribe so you can be informed when the latest next individual podcast or podcast mini series from FE News are going to be released.